Good morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend, right? I was talking to somebody in the hallway before here. It seems like some of us have gotten out in the sun just a bit. Some of us are on the rare side. Some of us are on the medium well. Some of us are just overcooked at this point. So, thinking of that song just a moment ago, thinking of the places that I can go that God won't come after me, or the never-ending way in which he will pursue me, or the idea that the master of the universe who spoke all things into existence, who gave life to everything we know, is willing to leave behind everything just to save me. That's pretty crazy, right? It's awesome. I love that song. I can't sing it very well, but I love it. Because Jerry doesn't let me in the choir. We'll have to talk about that later. After coming through a week, well, let me do this first. First of all, I want to acknowledge that on this Memorial Day weekend, we have a group of people that have served our nation, a group of people who are serving our nation, a group of people that served our nation and didn't come home. People who dedicated their entire lives to protecting our freedoms. I want to acknowledge that and let you know that I have a special connection with a kid that was in our youth group years ago. Had him all the way through middle school, high school, served 4 years, did a couple of tours in Afghanistan. I remember when he came back, he didn't look like the same kid. Looked like somebody different. And I hugged him, and I gave him a big hug, And I said, it's going to be great. It's going to be okay. And he says, I know. He says, because God loves me. And it was a road back. Took him a couple years. Like, it took him a couple years. And then I finally saw him again, because he's going to college out of state. I finally saw him again, and I went, there he is. He's back. He gave away 4 years of his life to defend our freedom. He gave away 4 years of his life to honor us, to allow us to come and say Jesus freely this morning on Sunday. So as you celebrate, make sure you honor those people who gave up parts of their lives so that we can be here today in freedom. God's love is so profound, and after coming through a series that we just came through on mental health, the thing that we're so nervous about is to say things out loud that make us a little nervous, right? Like, I'm willing to tell every single person in this room I love them. Some people can't do that, but I actually do. Like, I really like people. Like, I can walk into a room and pretty much like everybody I see. I would hug every single one of you if I could. Most of you would run. There are people in the world who are not like me, which I don't understand. They are people who don't hug people, who don't like to talk to folks and run the other way. Those are the people who run out of the room when I walk in the room. So if you ever see me walk into the foyer and like 10 people leave the foyer, that's why. It's not because I didn't shower. It's because those are those people. And it's not because they don't love me, because they just don't have this love affair with people that I do. I love people. I do. All kinds of people. Big ones, small ones, round ones, not so round ones. It's because something in me compels me to love. Something in me gets excited when you look into the eyes of someone and you see that God made them in a specific and a magical way. God's love is so profound for us that no matter how much I mess the things up in my life, God loves me. Do you realize that God loves us? He loved me as much the day before I found Jesus as he does right now. Like, nothing I've done since I found out that Jesus was the Savior of the world has changed the way God feels about me. You realize that? You realize that all those people who don't know God, God loves them innumerably and without measure, and that he loves them so much. He's so passionate about them. He doesn't love me more. He loves us all the same, but he loves us with this incredible love that I can't even describe to you. And it compels us believers in Jesus to love. to say I love you. When things get ugly and messy and weird, it compels you to love. So I was supposed to wrap up the mental health series and things like that. And I said to Dave, I said, I'm just not feeling that that's the direction God is leading me. What I feel is that now that we are not afraid to say that sometimes things go a little wrong, and sometimes we have people in our lives who are struggling with certain things, we should not be afraid to let all that out. We shouldn't be afraid to talk to people. We shouldn't be afraid to tell people about our issues. We need to also realize that we need to love people where they're at. Because sometimes when they give you what they got, it's a little overwhelming and a little hard to handle. Sometimes when they speak to you and they tell you what's really happening in their universe, it requires you to have a measure of love that I can't provide on my own. Tony can't provide the love, even though he loves people, he's passionate about people, and he's in love with people. I can't provide the kind of love that they need. So I have to rely on a different type of love, a passionate type of love. So then I start asking myself questions. I start asking myself deep theological questions, but just me questions. Like, I've almost achieved 50 years. When I get to 75, I'll ask Doug how that is. You know, Doug? That's all right. But I start to ask myself these profound questions. Here they are. You ready, church? This is going to be tough. Do I love Christians and non-Christians differently? Do I find those people who agree with me in life and I have some specific love more for them than I do other people? That's a tough question, isn't it? Do I love family members differently based on whether they do the things that I like or not? When you're at your Memorial Day picnic, that'll be one to contemplate, won't it? As you see all those wonderful people that you see once a year, right? Do I love my church family based on some standard I manufacture or on God's standard? There you go, huh? That's the one, right? Do I really, really love people, or do I just like them for what they can do for me? Or do I have a different level of love? Left to my own devices, yes, is the answer to those questions. But I don't have to worry about that, because as we talked about, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides in me. And it resides in all Christians. Now look, if you don't know who this Jesus cat is and you just rolled in here and you did something on Friday and Saturday night that you thought you needed to come to church for, that's okay. That's okay. Because I'll be honest with you. I want you to know that if you know people who claim to be Jesus followers, today is the way they should be all the time. Because we have something that is the most amazing something in the universe. And that's unfettered, unfiltered, incredible love. So if you don't know who he is today, I challenge you, first of all, to take a look at this man named Jesus, who was God and who saved our lives. But I ask you to look at the little Jesuses, the people who claim to be Jesus followers. Look at those folks so that you can see who they are. Now, I don't have trouble loving others. I got a whole, like, gaggle at home, right? I have my beautiful wife, and I did this in the first service because they were all here. I could just say beautiful a lot, and I'll score lots of points today. Hopefully, I'll get some time to fish. I have a beautiful wife, Christy. I have my beautiful daughters, Abby and Madison and Rebecca. Those are in order. Yes, I have a middle child. Yes, all those things are true. If you look at my dog, I have my dog Bubba there and my cat, which is really Christy's cat, but we'll talk about that later. And then I have my dog Buddy. All right. I love all of these dudes. I love them all. I love them all. I love them passionately. Right? But isn't it interesting that the ones you love so much are also the most challenging? Like, you are in your house, right? You're living with the other people in your home. Do you have challenging moments with the folks you live with? Because if you don't, please come up and preach to me. Because I know that if you live with other human beings for long enough, you have challenging moments. If you are friends with people who are human beings, you have challenging moments. I find it extremely telling that the people I love the most see the absolute best in me and the absolute worst. The people I profess to love, I would give my life for, well, not the cat, but I would give my life for any of these people on this board. But not the cat. But isn't it amazing that the people that I profess to love so much, they can see the absolute best and the absolute worst in me? I want to be able to love like my dog. How many people like dogs? Good. That's a great way to get sermon, like people like your sermon more if you talk about animals. So there you go. I've checked the box off. There you go. I said Jesus. I prayed. Hey, we're good. All right. Take a look at that dog. Isn't that a beautiful dog? I love that dog. Do you know what happens every morning when I wake up? That dog, he acts like I have been away for 100 years. He's a big dude. He's 80 pounds. He shakes and he shimmies and he rocks. He knocks stuff off the coffee table. He knocks my coffee. He jumps on me. He scratches me. He messes up my shirt. He's the happiest dog on the planet. And I just saw him 10 hours earlier when I went to bed. But he's like jacked up. He licks me. Like, you know, I think he likes my cologne. I'm not sure. Don't lean over to pet your dog with your mouth open. If you have a dog like mine, that can end badly for you. However, most of us love like the cat. How many of us have cats? I'm sorry ahead of time, cat lovers. But that's Christy's cat, not my cat. I merely exist alongside the cat. But this is what the cat does when I wake up. Hey, dude, you gonna feed me? No, like now. No, don't get dressed. Don't brush your teeth. Don't comb your hair. Haha, that was a joke. Go downstairs, open up the cat chow, put the cat chow on the plate, and then go away. Let me eat in peace. That's what most of us love like, right? We're not like the dog, because I want to love like the dog. Every time I see somebody, I'm like, oh my goodness, how are you? How are you? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. The cat's like, what are you going to do for me so that I can for a second love you and then go away and not more mess with you anymore? For 23 hours and 50 minutes a day, that cat hates me. But for 10 minutes in the morning, I'm his only food salvation. Unfortunately, that sounds a lot like some of the relationships in our lives, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like some of the relationships that I develop with people. For that 10 minutes, when I need those copies, that teacher who's ahead of me in line, I love him. I'm like, come on, I just need to sneak in. I only have 200 copies to make. It'll only take a second. That's a lie. But the rest of the time, I don't care that they don't know Jesus, or I don't care that they're destined for despair. I want to love like the dog, not the cat. That's not theological, by the way, so if you're looking that up, don't. Those animals see the best and the worst in me. And when my dog Bubba ate my couch, see, everyone says, he ate the couch, ha, 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 he chewed on the couch. No, the dude ate my couch. And I yelled at him, and I said things I probably shouldn't have said to him. 5 minutes later, he's like, hi, Daddy, I love you, I love you, I love you. Because he's a dog. I want to love like my dog. These one-hit wonders about loving others, I need a daily reality check from Jesus, because left to my own devices, left to my own version of love, I won't love people the way Jesus loved people. I will be with people. I will love their personalities. I will hug them. I will try to help like any way I can in their lives. But to be honest with you, if it's left to me, just Tony, it's not going to be worth it. It's not going to be the standard. That's not what we're called to do as Jesus followers. We're called to use the power that raised Jesus from the dead to love others, because we first were loved in a significant way. Well, here's what we're going to look through. We're going to look through 1 John 4, 7 through 19. We're going to talk a little bit about how John tells us, 1 John tells us about how God loved us first, about how knowing God makes us love people, about loving others as a symptom of loving God, And as the perfect love has no fear. Perfect love has no fear. Now look, so I teach sixth grade, right? And I always tell them, if you put too much on a slide, people will just go to sleep and they won't read it. But we're just going to pretend that doesn't exist for today. And we're going to pray that we read God's word. Because if you know Jesus, if you follow Jesus and you read his word, you will find it very valuable for instruction and rebuke and anything in between to know who God is and who he is by his word. So let's pray. Father God, I ask you today that we read your word and that it be good for instruction. Lord, that we see it and we see it in a way that the Holy Spirit within us, Lord, just says to us, this is the way that God would like us to operate. God, I ask for that. I ask for the Holy Spirit to be here. I ask for you to be here. I ask for these people to hear from you today, Lord, not from me. And that, God, we would all understand how we are supposed to love. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, I want to read this through. All right, and then I want us to read it to yourself. If you have your Bible on your phone, your iPad, your watch, whatever other form it comes in these days. There's a Bali Bible in front of you if you want to read it that way as well. But I want to read this to you, and then I want to talk through what 1 John says about this. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Look at verse 7. Now look, some people think that like you must have some this crazy theological knowledge to be a Christian or to understand the Bible. Verse 7 is pretty simple. Do you agree? Verse 7 doesn't say anything super complex. It doesn't use any Christianese. It doesn't use any words that are like foreign to any of us. It simply says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. End of sermon. Happy Memorial Day. Throw some horseshoes. Get something good. Right? That's what God's intention is. God says, let us love one another, for love comes from God. We do know that in the New Testament, there's two words that are used for love in the New Testament. Phileo and agape, or agapeo, which is in the Greek. So those two words, the first one, phileo, means an affection. All right, it means like, the definition here is it's a mere human affection. All right, it's like, I love my dog, or I love my stuff, or I really am passionate about certain things. That's what it is. It's not any less. It's not a non-love, but it is not the kind of love that we're talking about here. Not the kind of love that says, let us love one another because love comes from God. The agape love is what this love is. That's what this says. And it says it is more utterly unselfish. A love which is seen with all its fullness by this standard that God became a man and gave himself up for his people. The kind of love that you saw in that John verse right there at the end of the video that says there is no greater sacrifice than a man to lay down his life for another. This is not just, I like my dog, I like my Xbox. That's not what this is. This is transcendent love. This is a love that is a universal truth. This is God in the flesh who loves you more than anything, that's willing to leave everything behind to get you. That's this love. The love that they say, look, says, let us love one another because it comes from God. It doesn't say you should really like each other. It doesn't say you should really tolerate one another. It doesn't say that you should get together at family picnics, play horseshoes, and leave and never talk to one another. It says you should love one another. They're speaking to Christians here. Christians, Jesus followers, are you loving one another like this? The love that comes from God. Are you living this utterly unselfish, perfect love? Look at verse 10. Verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What would have happened if God would have waited for us to show agape love to him before he came? What would have happened? We would have been in trouble, right? What would have happened if we just, like God was saying, okay, we're just going to wait for him. They're going to love me. No, it just wouldn't happen. God said, no. He said, I'm going to show you, I'm going to model for you, I'm going to clearly make you understand what my unselfish, what my love looks like. Here I am, right on the scene, right on the earth, right in human form. I'm going to show that kind of love for you so you understand how much I love you so that you can love other people. We talk a lot about in this church about loving God and loving others. We talk about loving God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And then loving your neighbors, loving others just like that. It's crazy, right? How do you have the effort and energy to do that? You don't. But the Spirit that lives within you as a Jesus follower compels you to love that way. It compels you to understand what God's standard of love is and to be Jesus to those who need love. But I don't know about you, but I have not run into perfect people. You agree? Well, no. I've not run into perfect people. Are people difficult to love? Truth be told, I am. I'm really difficult to love. Just ask my wife and my kids. They see me at my absolute best, and they see me at my absolute worst. Yet, they love me. The only way that's possible is because they understand the kind of love that God has for us, and they are trying to emulate that to give me grace. So that leads us to two natural conclusions. God loves us first because he had to model what this crazy love is like. Because we couldn't on our own figure out the intensity of God's love from just us getting around to it. Seeing all the amazing things that God did. Like you read the Old Testament, my Bible study has carried me through the Old Testament. Now some people think that's a drudge. And I'll be honest with you, there's some places in the Old Testament I'm like, woo, come on, baby, keep going. But let me tell you something about the Old Testament. If you don't read through the Old Testament, you won't understand the lengths that God will go through to bring his people to a clear understanding of his grace and love. The Old Testament is an amazing journey that God puts his people on to know how much he absolutely loves them. And he will never give up on them. I'm so jacked up about it. Like, I'm not jacked up about the Old Testament. But that jacks me up. Like, I'm watching the Old Testament, and I'm watching God pursue his people to the ends of the earth through all these crazy, corrupt, bad kings. Man, there were more bad kings than there were good kings. Man, I finally got to Hezekiah, and I went, oh, my goodness, thank you. Let me stay here. And it's only like a chapter long. It's really disappointing. You know, and it all ends in, and isn't this all written in the annals of the kings of Judah? Everything's written like that. It's great. You read that statement about 60 times. But what I've found is the lengths God will go through to pursue his people and to love them. Because knowing God makes us love people because you're compelled to, Christians. Jesus followers, you're compelled. You've been given eternity. Grace and love by someone who gives it to you unconditionally. The dog, not the cat. Cat bad, dog good. No, it's not theological. Erase that from your memory. Check this out. More big worded slides. Oh, by the way, the bold and the red are mine. That wasn't printed in the version that I had, so I just did that. But I really did it because I wanted you to see how much the word love is used to give you emphasis and understand that what God's word is trying to communicate. So there you go. I forgot that in my notes, and there it is. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Now listen to this. You want to know what love is? Like the song? What is love? God is love. No more, you don't have to worry about being curious anymore. Look at the attributes of God, and that's love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and in them. This is how love is made complete amongst us, so that we will have the confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. The world's version of love turns into punishment. God's version of love sets you free. It's a contrast. It's a difference. I never used to like to read old sermons from years ago. Like, for whatever reason, I thought it was kind of old-fashioned. And Pastor Aaron, I give credit to Pastor Aaron for getting me to understand that the theologians, there are a lot of theologians that I really should read. And so I started to read sermons. And I started to run across this fellow named H.A. Ironside. And the story of his life is amazing. Like, he preached his first sermon at 13. Like, I know what I was doing at 13. I don't think I was preaching. But this man had an incredible knowledge of God. And so he had this, he's preached this sermon, and this was a part of his explaining the sermon, not part of the sermon itself, because if I preached that sermon, we'd be here until 3 o'clock. But this was the story in here, and I think it is as relevant today as it was in 1950. Now, you may not think so, but I guarantee you when you listen to this, you will draw a comparison to 2019. Even the most corrupt people in the world love those who seem to give them some return for their affection. But the great principle laid down here in these verses is that after we have been born of God and are partakers of the divine nature, we will not wait for people to love us, but we will love them no matter how they behave. Dramatic pause. That is divine love demonstrated through the new nature. This kind of love is a challenge even to Christians because we still have our old nature in us. Though born of God, the Christian has a nature that came from the fallen Adam, and that nature is selfish and is looking for satisfaction in others and the things of this world. It is only through the power of the new divine nature, faith in Christ, inherited at the second birth, that a Christian can rise to the standard before him. True story, 5 minutes before I preached the first sermon in the first series, one of my best friends when I was growing up, his name's John, he's not a believer, texted me and said, "I love you, brother." I was blown away. I was like, "You're kidding, right? Nobody could time this better." I was like thinking about what I was going to say, and here's my brother John, who's not my brother. We don't share the same parents. He doesn't know who Jesus is, but he loves me. He wanted me to know today, he loves me. That's pretty crazy, right? But John doesn't understand love the way I understand love. He loves me. He knows he's passionate about me. He knows he cares for me. But he doesn't understand the love that I pour back out on him and where that comes from. So I'm just going to keep loving John. His version of love, the world's version of love, looks terribly different. Have you ever think, now just be honest with yourself. Have you ever thought about loving someone and thinking that you might be getting more out of it than they are. Or maybe because you're loving them for a specific reason or not. Or maybe there's something that's fulfilling in that love. Maybe. That is not the type of love that God is talking about here. It is so radically separated from the world's version of love, because that is punishment. And we are talking about freedom. Loving others should be a symptom of loving God. Loving others should be a symptom of loving God. You as a Christian, if you have a cold, you sniffle and sneeze or you cough. There's some symptom. There's something that gives everyone the indication that they need to stay away from you and use as much hand sanitizer as possible. Like, I teach sixth grade. You don't think I go through some hand sanitizer? I go through a lot. Anybody that wants to donate some? No, never mind. But loving others is a symptom of your Jesus following. Check yourself, Jesus followers. Check yourself. If you are not having symptoms of loving others, go back to your Heavenly Father and ask Him to speak to you through His Word and through brothers and sisters and through people who you know who are Jesus followers, and find out how you can be symptomatic of loving others. Now look, people are weird and they're messy. And they're not always put together the way you want them to be. But guess what? Neither were we. When God found this mess, I am so glad I didn't have to clean up to get to God. If I had to clean up to get to God, I'd still be mopping. And it still wouldn't work. God said, I'm going to take you where you're at. And then watch out. You should have symptoms of loving others because you love God. And then I don't want you to have fear. Because we talked about this for the last 4 weeks. I am afraid to tell people I have anxiety. I'm afraid to tell people that I have this or I have that. Or I'm afraid to tell people I don't want to come outside of my house because I'm afraid. I've had football players tell me this. Big, strong, athletic men who looked like they could eat everyone they ran into. And I would give them a hug, and they would hug me, and they would hurt me, and they would hug me, and they would go, I want to be loved. I don't want to be fearful. But they were saying, I don't know what to do about this. Don't be afraid to love people. Don't be afraid to wade into the messiness. Get into it. Because if you are symptomatic, if you're a Jesus follower, you will have symptoms of loving others. Go ahead. It's not going to end well all the time. I'm telling you right now. It's not going to. Nope. Sometimes it's going to be ugly. Sometimes it's going to be nasty. Sometimes you're going to get hurt. Sometimes you're going to feel like you didn't impact anyone. Not true. Those are lies. Wading into the messiness of these beautiful brothers and sisters, these people. Do you know that before I was born, God manufactured every cell in my body to do exactly what He wanted me to do? That dude's smart. He's got it going on. He has built me exactly the way I want. If you think about how you are built and you feel like you should have been built differently, that's a lie. You are perfectly and wonderfully made exactly the way God needed you so that He could minister to His people. Do not fear something that is wrong with you or the messiness of people's lives. Don't fear that. Because I've waded into a lot of messes and I've felt the stiffness of the punch to the head. But I'd rather get a black eye loving people than stay away from people and know that they never encountered Jesus on this earth. Because that's what the scripture says. Now, remember all those wordy slides? It all gets down to 19. We love because He loved us first. It's not any, like, Tony, like, universal truth that I came up with. We love because God manufactured this beautiful, unconditional love, and he bestowed that upon us, and he modeled it for us so that we know how we can love others. We're not going to do it perfectly. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't love perfectly. I mess up a lot, but I'm just going to keep doing it. I don't care. I'm just going to keep doing it because God compels me. I want to be symptomatic of Jesus. So I do what other people do. I go on Facebook and I ask for advice, right? Now look, Facebook is not theological by any means, so don't be going there for lots of theological advice. But what I really was after was I was trying to understand what it felt like to be loved by Jesus followers. What is that like? I know what it's like for me, but I wanted to just throw it out there because I figured my brothers and sisters would come up with something better than I could. I was just saying, look, I'm working on a sermon. How have other Christians shown you love when you needed it most? How do you respond when those Christians love you when you feel unlovable? Anybody feeling unlovable lately? I'll be honest with you. I feel unlovable. As a Christian, I feel unlovable sometimes. Sometimes I'm sitting at home going, does anybody really love me? Don't be afraid of that. I'm not going to be afraid of that anymore. I think the one thing that God has shown me throughout this whole thing is that I need to be able to say to people, I feel unlovable. Say to my wife, I feel unlovable. Don't be afraid of that, ever. So this is what I got. This is a dear friend of mine who lives down the road a little bit. She doesn't come to our church. I've had a tough 6 months. There have been people at my church who have noticed a change in my behavior and have talked to me unsolicited. I have appreciated their concern and prayers. Do you think she appreciated them, or do you think she was just flat out loving that? When somebody came up to them and went, man, it looks like you're having a tough time. I just want to know I'm here. I want to love on you. That is way understated. Person who is known for caring others, it's difficult for me to share my hurts and deep feelings. I hide it well, and people usually don't ask, but a few see through my facade. It is welcomed. And I feel loved, and I feel the value when it's totally unexpected. Do you want to give value to brothers and sisters in Jesus? Do you want to give value to people who may not know Jesus? How easy it is to give value to somebody just being loving like God has instructed us? This is from a dear brother of mine on the left here. It says, oftentimes the Spirit will work in a brother in Christ and will send me an encouraging text or ask me to hang out and encourage me at the perfect time. This always brings me a moment of humility as I felt like I was about to fall apart. And even when I'm not looking up towards God for help, he is faithful in sustaining me. This humility will spark a heart of worship. Think about that. Now, this young man has a way of words. But think about it. Spark a heart of worship because he knows the only way this person can love him the way he needs to be loved is if God is with him. Silent hug. Sometimes somebody will take my hand or arm across the shoulders. It's not always words, though sometimes it is. Mostly just being inclusive. My response is appreciation and humility. Always humbled by the depth of caring. It's really amazing. It's nothing I've really earned. Dude, are you kidding me? You can't tell me that jacks me up. You walk into a room full of people and you love them just in response to the way Jesus loves you, and you can elicit this type of response because you know what? Because God has put in every single one of us the capacity to be loved because we are made in his image and God is love. Make the connection. Sometimes it's just being there. The commission community is like no other. It doesn't matter that we go to different churches. In my experience, I've seen Christ's love lived out in others. They've made a choice to be inconvenienced, even to do things that people may never know, all to obey Christ and follow his example. Wow. From a dear friend of mine who travels quite a bit, sees almost every part of the country every year. A sister checking up on me in a morning text. Letters or text of words of encouragement. This one was cool. The kids from East Swamp Church sending us handmade cards with scripture verses. This woman had lost her husband. When he was finishing his time here on earth. Loving people unconditionally because they are compelled to do so because of God's love. And then this one on the other side here. How do you respond when Christians love you? Most of the time, I get very emotional. Now, listen to this. I am constantly waiting for people to reveal to me that their love is conditional. So when they decide to stay and be present with me, I am overwhelmed. The world is fear and punishment. God's love is not. It is about loving people unconditionally. How do you think that this person feels when they are wrapped up in love? They feel joy. All right, church. Let's do this. Let's do this. Because if this happens, the amount of joy that people can feel won't even be able to be measured. If we just love the way God does. If we love in the same model that he loved us, that he would give his son, that he would come to earth, that he would live as a man in a perfect life, that he would surrender himself to an awful death to pay for all the sins that I will ever do in my life before I even was alive, and then rise 3 days later to be a perfect God to free me from the bondage of sin. That's the love we need to model. Open your heart and allow God to show you what real love is. If you don't know who Jesus is and you're trying to figure out what this real love stuff is all about, first of all, I will talk to you, but I promise not to give you a hug unless I ask. That's not true. Venture out into the messiness. Please don't be afraid to venture out into the mess. Some of the coolest people I've ever met in my life, I met in the messiness. I was in the messiness before Brother Jeff Kent said, you need to know who Jesus is. Every one of the people that is a human being on this earth is a child of God, and God loves them just as much as they love you, except they can't feel agape love unless you show it to them. Please, when we go out this Memorial Day and you got some horseshoes and some potato salad, and lots of meat, medium rare, lots of barbecue sauce, maybe something like that, just generalization. And you see that person or those people that you know you're going to see, because it's Memorial Day and everybody gets together, and you know for a fact they're the ones that push your buttons. I just want you to think of this. The God of the universe was not waiting for you to be unmessy before he came down and saved your life. Man, I love my family here. I love them. I love you guys to death. Every time I get an opportunity to speak up here, I look into your eyes and I feel love for you. Not because of me, but because God modeled that for me. Church, this weekend and the rest of this week, think about the people in your life who are messy. Think about the believers in your life who need to be touched and loved. And love them. Let's pray. Father God, we love you, but we only love you because you modeled this incredible love, this amazing gift, this agape love, this pure and unconditional and crazy love. And God, all we ask is that we are obedient and that we listen to the Holy Spirit within us and that you put us in to the messy situations that you've personally designed us to do. And God, please, please allow the believers to feel love from other believers and unbelievers to know that there are people who love them no matter what. God, let us wade into the messiness, but for the most part, Lord, protect us from our own selves, from our own thoughts. Don't let anything sit in the darkness, Lord, reveal that. And Lord, let brothers and sisters help where we can. God, thank you for the country that we live in. Thank you for the people who have defended it. Thank you for the Lord, that the people that have given their lives to allow this church in this place to say Jesus. Amen. Have a great Memorial Day. Peace.